and there, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if we the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we're on page 14, volume 30, 124-32. Luisa says, I was feeling all concerned about the many truths that Blessed Jesus had told me on His divine will, and I felt in me the sacred deposit of His truths. So again, where do we find the sacred deposit of the truths of Jesus? It's within Luisa. I also felt a holy fear of how I kept them in my poor soul and many times badly exposed without the attention that befits truths that contain infinite value. So, okay, we also should have a holy fear of how many times we have not held with great attention these truths that are in the volumes that contain infinite value. See, every time that you read, every time that you study, every time that you put this into practice, Jesus expands your capacity so that when you read it again, you understand even more. And then He expands your capacity. So when you read it again, He shows you even more truths to the truth that He is showing you. So we have to also understand that these books are not ordinary. This is what Jesus is showing us. And so Shalisa says, oh, how I would like to imitate the blessed, the saints, who, while they know so much about the divine will, don't say anything to any of the pilgrim souls. They keep them all within themselves. This is what the saints do. They are beatified. They are delighted. But from up there in heaven, they send not even one word to make known a single truth of the many that they know. So here Jesus, Luisa is showing us that even the saints keep things hidden, keep things hidden from us. Those that we know, those that we love that have died and have gone before us, they understand the divine will very, very much. But they're not revealing anything to us. And the reason is Jesus has given us the means to understand them by our reading them and consuming these truths. But while I was thinking of this, my beloved, lovable Jesus visiting my little soul, all goodness told me, my daughter, Luisa, each word that I, Jesus, have spoken to you about my divine will has been nothing other than a little visit that I, God, have made to you, leaving in you the substance of the good that each of my words contain. So Jesus is giving Luisa everything in these words. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, give these words, which are not ordinary. They're of God. He says, with the substance of the good that each of God's words contains. So he says, and not trusting you because you were incapable of keeping a single word of mine, I myself as God remained as the custodian of the infinite values of my truths that I, Jesus, have deposited in your soul. So that even though where we find these truths is in Luisa, Jesus is the custodian of these truths. What Jesus has told Luisa, they are His. So like I said before, we're not looking at Luisa because of Luisa. We're looking at Luisa because Jesus is there. We're looking at Luisa because Jesus and Mary have given to her this infinite value of His truths, deposited in her soul, and the custodian of these writings, these words, is Jesus Christ Himself. Again, I always look at Luisa and go, who is she that Jesus would be doing these things with her? A human, a regular human being. Why did He choose her? And who is she that our God has placed in her the knowledge of the divine will that will be given to the world? Who is she? So therefore, your fears are not just. I, God, I myself guard everything. These are celestial truths. These are things of heaven, outpourings of love of my divine will. And for the many centuries which had been repressed, And before deciding to speak to you, Louisa, I had already decided to remain in you, Louisa, in order to keep what I would deposit in you. So God has planned this even before she was created. He has deposited his truths into Louisa, and he has decided to remain in Louisa. Now, this is much different than the lives of the saints. The saints were good and holy and saintly in a human manner, you know, in a saintly human manner. But with Louisa, we see God dwelling in her in a divine manner, chosen by God himself from the beginning of time. Again, I think we can go back to what Father Bucci said. Louisa is the saint of the church. Louisa la Santa. And I think the church has to come up with something different, because she's not like an ordinary saint, no matter how great and how heroic. Louisa is different. And the scholars who have studied Louisa know that there is something different here. This is a new divine holiness that hasn't been seen. You, Louisa, enter the secondary order. I am myself the first custodian. So these writings of the Book of Heaven that basically have been deposited in Louisa are guarded by Jesus himself. Jesus loves these writings because they reveal who he is. So this is why we should have great respect for these writings. I remember years ago we were doing a prayer meeting, and at the end somebody just threw the book on the floor, and it's just like, you know, I'm done with it, you know. And do we understand how important these words of God are for all of mankind? If we really begin to understand how powerful these words are, we wouldn't discard a book like that. We wouldn't just throw them on the ground. We have to treasure these. And see, Jesus is telling us this to see whether or not we recognize how important these books are. You know, Jesus is telling us this so that we can treat these books with great respect. He says, I am God, myself, is the first custodian of these writings. So these truths are very, very important to Jesus, because he knows that these truths are going to bring about a whole new beginning for everyone. Volume 30, 130, 32, you must know. Again, this is a command from Jesus. You must know this, that the love of this divine will of mine is so great that it uses all the arts. It acts as a spy, and it blows its breath upon Louisa. It acts as Louisa's mother, and it rocks Louisa in its arms. It acts as Louisa's sentry, and it watches over Louisa. It acts as Louisa's queen and dominates Louisa. It acts as sun to Louisa, and it illuminates Louisa. It offers itself even to serve Louisa. So here Jesus is showing that the God has planned that the divine will is so great that the divine will wants Louisa and guards Louisa, protects Louisa. And again, if this is happening, the same thing we should be doing as well. Louisa has to become more than just the mystic. Father Bucci says, Louisa, you cannot compare Louisa's mysticism to any of the other churches' mystics. She is unique in her mysticism. This is when the church begins to explain Louisa, you know, how powerful it's going to be, because this goes way beyond what we've seen from the beginning of the church. It goes way, way beyond who this mysticism that the church has had. It goes way beyond this. Why? Because it brings about like a divine mysticism. And this is what our God wants us to know. And when the divine will wants to deposit in you, Louisa, its knowledges, its truths, even just one of his words, what does the divine will do? it blows its breath upon you so much that first it forms in you its support of love, its support of light, in order to enclose its truths in the support of its love and support of its light that it formed in you. So here we see God doing something extraordinary with this soul, Luisa Picaretta. Again, the beruah of God, the breath of God, breathes upon Luisa so much that it forms in Luisa the support of love and light. It encloses the truths in that support of light, love and light that it has formed in Luisa. Again, this hasn't been done to other souls. You can read all the lives of the saints, and this is not recorded. What is recorded here is something that helps us understand this Luisa Picaretta. She is unique in all the world. She has been chosen by God from the beginning of time to have this gift. See, because God knew that Adam was going to fail. God knew that. So what did he do? He had already planned not only for his mother, a virgin, to bring about redemption, but Luisa, a virgin, to bring about sanctification. God knew this. So when we pray at Holy Saturday, O happy fall of Adam, on Holy Saturday night, we are saying we are happy that Adam fell. Why? Because now we have more. We have Jesus, the new Adam, Mary as the new Eve. And what is extraordinary is now we can look and see who the firstborn of this great gift is. This great gift of Jesus and Mary, the firstborn, the newborn, is Luisa Picaretta. Unique in all the world. So I know people, some of the Protestants have difficulty with the Blessed Mother. What are they going to do when Luisa comes around? You know, here is a human born of original sin that has been given the gift of gifts. And through this woman, she's going to present it to the Pope. The Pope is going to embrace this and then give it to the world. Then there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. We are in extraordinary times. I mean, right now we have two pontiffs. You know, I mean, this doesn't happen. We have to see the time that we're in is very unique. We've had four blood moons. The fourth blood moon is coming up. This is very unique in all the world. We could get into our country, but it's falling apart very quickly before our eyes. You know, what we are experiencing is the preparation, Jesus says, of the kingdom being established on earth as it is in heaven. And it's Luisa's job to bring that kingdom. So I know that the times are short. Why? Because of Luisa. If we understand who Luisa is, we understand that the time is very, very short. Very, very short. She is the one who God has given the gift of the divine will to form the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It has to be a human. The Son of God's job, the Mother of God's job, was to redeem mankind. But the one who was to give us this gift originally was a human, Adam. It wasn't the Son of God. It wasn't the Mother of God. So Jesus and Mary have now the firstborn, a human, who's going to give to the world this gift. Basically, oh happy fall of Adam. Something even more glorious is going to happen because of Adam's sin. So it has entrusted its truth to its own love, to its own light, knowing that only its love can have true interest in keeping them and in spurring you on, Luisa, so that they may not remain hidden. So these truths have been breathed into Luisa. Luisa has written them down. The Book of Heaven is now ours. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, these truths are not hidden any longer. Jesus says everything's been accomplished. Now the only thing that it has to happen is they have to be known. Again, your family doesn't want it, your neighbors don't want it, your coworkers don't want it, your parishioners don't want it. This has to be known by you. This is what Jesus has planned. Oh, if it weren't for this, my support of love, which encloses all the knowledges of my fiat, how many things you would have buried in your soul without anyone knowing anything. This is the reason why, before manifesting to you its truths, its acts, and as the all-doer around you, to prepare you to place new love in you, to form new support for its truths, and to put them in the safe bank of its divine love. So everything has been deposited in Louisa. Everything is ready to be given to the world. And Jesus has called us to do that. He's asked us to read this, to study this, and to put this into practice. It's for the whole world. Yet, Jesus is showing us that it comes from Louisa. It has been breathed in Louisa. Jesus has chosen Louisa for the beginning of time. And again, if we understand what Jesus is saying, he's asking us to really begin to focus on Louisa. To recognize that these are not just ordinary words. These words will transform the face of the earth. And Jesus has given us the 36 volumes. Again, he is expecting an awful lot from us. He is expecting us to embrace this and to live this to such a degree that the kingdom will be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 34, 932. My abandonment in the divine will continues. I feel like the little girl who sip by sip is nourished with this celestial food that produces in my soul divine strength, divine light, in indescribable sweetness. So the celestial food is not ordinary food. It brings divine strength. And this is what happens to us. We will be able to get through things that are impossible, even for the saints. He's going to give us divine light that the saints did not have. He's going to give us an indescribable sweetness in the bitterness that we're going to have to go through. Jesus is very clear. This is the book that's going to get us through what is coming. And when all heck breaks loose, what's very important for us is to hang on to these books and to read. And the more that you read, you will have the life jacket to get through what's coming. There's nothing else. There's no prayers that you can pray that's going to be able to obtain what God wants you to obtain if it's not from the divine will. We have to go to the divine will. We have to learn how to pray in the divine will. Ordinary prayers for the last 2,000 years are not going to be strong enough for what's coming. Ordinary prayers are... It would be like, you know, trying to get riding a bicycle compared to being in a jet. You know, it's what's coming is so difficult that if we do not have the power, the strength, and this love that God has given us through Louisa, we will not be able to endure what's coming. Because Jesus said, I am only giving you... Because Louisa asked, when are we going to have these books? What's going to happen? Jesus says, in the worst of times, I will give the divine will out. The worst of times came in 1996 when the books were released. We had them in English in 2005. We have been living, you can see very clearly, this is getting worse by the day. And it's going to get to the point where it's going to be unbearable for most people. Most people will end up committing suicide for being terrified of what's coming. You know, because Jesus, Our Lady said that. She said, I remember in Medjugorje once, a young man committed suicide, and they asked Our Lady, why? And she says, because he did not have Jesus, he did not have me. And then she says, if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have me, all you have left is suicide. See, it's that what is coming, again, Jesus said, has never been seen and will never be seen again. ever. And what it is, it's the purification of the earth. God is basically going to give to the devil what he wants. He's going to say, that's what the 3 days of darkness are about. God's saying to the devil, take what's yours. My kingdom is going to be established. Take what's yours. And he will take everything that belongs to him and leave. Because the kingdom of God is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. God wins. But we have to look at the majority of our family and friends and neighbors and co-workers. We're the ones to pray in their name. But not only the ones that we love, all of mankind, past, present, and future. So that the kingdom can be established and they will have the opportunity to embrace this. Jesus says most people at this point can't live in the divine will. Their human wills are too strong. They cannot say yes to Jesus. So we have to do it for them, Jesus is asking. So he says, and then each truth that my beloved Jesus manifests to his little newborn, Louisa, is one of the most touching and delightful scenes and of the most beautiful that he places in my mind, Louisa says, as bearer of the beatitude of the celestial fatherland. Here is, again, Louisa writing for our benefit. Each truth of Jesus manifested to Louisa is so touching, so delightful. It is the most beautiful. Where does he place it? In the mind of Louisa. As what? Louisa as the bearer of the beatitude of heaven. See, this God wants us to participate in this. See, he wants us to begin to live heaven on earth now, not after we die. So Louisa says, I was feeling immersed in the so many truths of the supreme fiat, and my always lovable Jesus visiting his little girl told me, my little daughter of my volition, you must know, this is a command, that if our supreme being gave to the creatures all of the heavens, all of the sun, all of the earth, all of the sea, he would not give as much as when he communicates the truths on the divine will. So we see that everything that we can see in the universe is not as grand as the truths of the divine will. In fact, all the other things would remain outside of the creatures while the truth penetrates into the most fibers of the soul, of Louisa's soul. And I, God, keep molding the heartbeats, the affection, the desires, the intellect, the memory, and the will to transform Louisa completely into the life of the truth. Again, that's Jesus. God is doing that with us too as we read. He penetrates into the innermost fibers of our souls who are linked to Louisa. Jesus keeps molding our heartbeats, our affections, our desires, our intellect, our memory, our will to transform us completely into the life of Jesus, the truth. So he gets to be in God's image and likeness. And that's why as you read, and that's why your promise to Jesus is very, very important that you will read every day. But that's between you and Jesus. And it's a vow that you make between you and Jesus. And that means that this has to become more than what it has been before in your life. You know, I tell people they pray and most people say to me, well, I am praying. No, you've got to pray like you've never prayed before. You got to begin to live in the divine will like you've never lived in the divine will before. This is serious. It's not ordinary prayer. It's not saintly prayer. It's a prayer that is going to bring about a complete change of the face of the earth. It's going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. No, this is a much different time. You know, this is a much different time. You know, we have to begin to hear Jesus teach us how to pray in the divine will, how to command in the divine will, how to receive the royal garments of divinity. This is much different than we've ever seen before. Jesus says, and as I go on molding the soul, Louisa and us, I, Jesus, keep repeating the prodigies of the creation of Adam. And by the touch of my hands, I destroy the seeds of evil. Each and every one of us is going to be perfect in the divine will. He's destroying within us the seeds of evil. All the worry, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the complaints, all the negativity, all the sin is being destroyed in us as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. And I, God, make the seed of the new life rise again. This is the new day. This is the new heavens. This is the new earth. This is the new life that God is going to have manifested on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. See, this is not ordinary. And you can't just read this as an ordinary writings. It is so deep. It is so beautiful. It is so holy. It is so perfect that as we read with that docility to the Holy Spirit, He begins to transform us, transmute us, as a matter of fact, as Jesus says. The creature feels my touch, and I, God, keep molding her, and the new life is then given to her again. Divine life. See, we were created to be in God's image and likeness. You know, when people say, well, I'm only human, that's not true. We are called to share in divinity. We are that drop of water put into the cup filled with wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. On the other hand, the heavens, the sun, the sea do not have the transforming virtue of making the creature a heaven, making the creature a sun, making the creature an ocean. All the good is limited to the outside and nothing more. See then how many goods are enclosed in my having manifested to you, Louisa, so many truths. This is so important. For us, he says, how many goods are enclosed in manifesting to Louisa and now to us these so many truths. Therefore, be attentive in corresponding to a good so great. So again, the Lord wants us to be attentive. He keeps on saying, be attentive, be attentive. That's, I love the Byzantine Mass. Be attentive, be attentive. It's what are we doing? Jesus asks us throughout the day, why are you walking? Why are you washing the dishes? Why are you mowing the lawn? And if we are attentive, it should be all for the glory of God, for the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. For every blade of grass that's cut, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you and worship you. And for every bubble that's in the sink. See, we have to really begin to be attentive. You know, why are you washing the window? To give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. It's to recognize that we're here not just for ordinary things, but through the ordinary things, we're bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Then I continue to think about the many truths on the divine will, how many joys, how many divine transformations. They themselves have been revealers of the Supreme Being. I would never have known my Creator, my Celestial Father, if the holy truths had not acted as messengers, bringing me to the many beautiful news of His adorable majesty. And that's what happens as we're reading. The truths are acting as divine messengers, bringing to us the beautiful news of how adorable God is, how beautiful God is, how magnificent God is, how holy God is, how loving God is. And that's what happens. As you read, you're falling more and more in love with God. As you read, you fall more and more in love with Our Lady. You know, this is so beautiful. And while the many truths crowded my mind, a doubt arose in me. Was it really Jesus, the one who had manifested to me the so many truths, or was it the devil or my fantasy? And Jesus, this is our question, Jesus surprisingly told me, my good daughter, how can you doubt? And it's the same thing. Is Jesus really speaking to Louisa or not? If you're doubting, how can you doubt this? Only a God could be doing what he's doing with Louisa. Only a God would have to do what he's doing with Louisa. There's no question. Our God is so in love with us, he does not want to lose us. He wants to bring us back to where we were before the fall. That's our God. He has to do this. The mere multiplicity of the many truths of my own divine will is a sure a proof of that only your Jesus could have been a speaking so prolonged on the same subject with varied and powerful arguments. In fact, possessing the font of them, it is no wonder that I manifested to you, Louisa, in many ways the little drops of light, I could say, of the knowledges of my adorable will. I say drops for me compared to the much they had to the infinite sea, the infinite ocean that I can still say. See, the 36 volumes, Jesus says, are drops of water that are coming off Louisa's body as she exits the infinite ocean of the divine will. And our God is asking us to be so absorbed in these truths that we can be with Louisa and dive into the infinite ocean and stay there for all eternity. The infinite ocean of love, of light, of life. Never to leave divinity, to participate in divinity for all eternity. That's what the saints are doing right now in heaven. But Jesus wants this now on earth, before we die. He says very clearly, "Indeed, if I wanted to speak for all eternity, I, God, have so much to say on the knowledges that regard my supreme fiat, and I, God, would never end. But for you, what I have manifested have been seas, because what is a drop for me, who am the infinite being, is sea for you, who are the finite creature." So the mere proximity and my so much speaking is the surest and most convincing proof that only your Jesus could have so many reasons that he alone can know so much of regards my own divine will. The enemy does not possess this font, and nobody possesses this, especially the devil. And besides, the devil would not touch the key that would burn him even more, because the thing that he hates the most and that most torments him is my most holy divine will. If it were in his power, he would turn the earth upside down. He would use all the arts and tricks that no one would know, and no one would do my will. And that's where we are at this point, just so that you know. The devil is at the point of turning the world upside down. I'm telling you, he knows these books are going to destroy him. He knows these books are going to drive him out of the earth, and heaven is going to come to earth. And he has been bound for out of heaven. He's been thrown out of heaven, and he will be thrown out of earth. So he is going to try everything at this point on. That's what I'm saying. He is furious that these books are out. He is furious that people are reading them and studying them and putting them into practice. But Jesus says that he won't get near you if you're reading them, because he's terrified of who is giving us these truths. That is Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the one that conquered him on Calvary. Our Lord and our Lady have done everything. And now they have a newborn, Louisa, who's beginning to sing the songs that Adam sang before he fell. She's singing the songs that Jesus and Mary sang while they were on earth, and it's driving him crazy. Why do you think our president decided to give the nuclear bomb to Iran? The devil wants to turn the earth upside down. But you see, Jesus wins. Jesus is victorious. Our Lady is victorious. This is nothing to be afraid of. But you have to understand, with these books coming out, we know that the devil is furious. So he says, "Much less could your fantasy, so limited and small, Oh, how quickly could the light of reason remain extinguished? And once having spoken two or three reasons, you would have acted like those who want to speak and feel themselves being struck dumb and cannot go any further. So confused, you would give yourself back to silence. So he says, it's not the devil, and it's not your fantasy, Louisa. Therefore, only your Jesus, this is so great, only your Jesus has the word ever new. Only Jesus has the word ever penetrating. Only Jesus has the word full of divine freshness. Only Jesus has the word of admirable sweetness. Only Jesus has the word of surprising truth, such that the human intellect is forced to lower its head and say, here, there is the finger of God. Therefore, recognize the good so great, and let my divine will alone be your central point in all things. And that's a command from Jesus. Again, if you can't see God working in this, he says you're going to have to bow your heads and say, here is the finger of God. And he says, let my divine will alone be the central point in all that you think, say, and do. So again, he's depending on us to link ourselves to Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It's not the job of St. John of the Cross or St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena. It's not their job. It's our job to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. How? By being linked with Louisa, through Louisa. This is her gift. And God has said, I am asking you to begin to be part of the apostolate of apostolates. You know, the blessing that was given, just remember, Jesus is expecting great things from you. And as you begin to live this, watch God work. But again, don't do anything on your own. You know, do everything with Louisa. Call on Louisa. Go to Louisa. Plead with Louisa. And watch what God will do. Volume 31, 129-33. I was thinking about the many truths that my adorable Jesus had manifested to me about the divine will, and oh, how many thoughts crowded in my mind of surprises, of joys, of emotions about these truths. And it seemed to me that they descended from heaven, all ordered, so as to fill the earth. And their work was to form the way in themselves in order to let us, this should be a capital U, us, triune God, re-enter into these truths, and then they would wall themselves around creatures in order to not let them leave. And my celestial Jesus, visiting my little soul, told me, my daughter Louisa, of my volition, you must know, this is a command, that every truth that I have manifested of my divine will to you, Louisa, was nothing other than one more approach toward creatures. Our supreme being, as it spoke, so it took one more step toward them. It placed one more divine particle at their disposition and cast new bonds of union and of love. Our word, listen to this, is always our birth. It is our word that we place on the way from heaven in order to seek our yearned for creature. And our sacrosanct Trinity, drawn by the power of the word, because he was inseparable from us, made us take our next steps. And step by step, we, triune God, arrived at where our word reaches. And now you must know, again, another command, that when we, triune God, decide to manifest the truth by means of our word, since it is part of ourselves, part of God, and that we are putting forth, our supreme being takes an unusual aspect, a new joy invests us. Again, heaven is always new. A new joy invests God. A new strength communicative of new beatitudes comes forth from us. The whole of heaven, in seeing our unusual aspect, already senses that we are about to put forth one word of ours of truth, because the first to celebrate the truths that we put forth were the three divine persons, and then the whole of heaven together with us. They are gifts of the great King, who knows how to move everything, invest everything, And our word has the creative, vivifying, and transforming virtue. And at times it knocks down, it crushes, it smashes everything to pieces. And over the ruins makes arise the life of our divine word. And it forms there the most beautiful things, a new creation, works of magnificence, as to amaze both heaven and earth. What can one fiat of ours not do? It can do everything. And what will the chains of so many of our fiats not do? Our fiat transformed into word of truth possesses the invincible virtue, unreachable power, immovable firmness of a good that it wants to form, and the power of my speaking fiat. See, this is world transformation. You know, it's the kingdom being established on earth as it is in heaven. There will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. This is what Jesus is talking about. And he's asking us to bring this kingdom on earth with Louisa. What greater thing could we do? I mean, this is what God is asking us to do with our fiat. He says, you do not understand the great gift and the great good that one single word of mine about the divine truth encloses, but you shall understand it with time. And when you shall see the deeds, the works that my truths have produced, because my truths not only have the power of drawing our supreme being near, of letting us, triune God, take the steps, and many times it also makes us race in order to come near the creature, but they give graces to them, of letting them take steps and making them race to meet He, God, who already was coming to meet them, and to give them the great good that our fiat pronounced. So our truths act powerfully when they come forth from our divine being, because if they go forth, they want to give the life and the good that they possess. And at the same time, they want to dispose creatures to draw near to the font from which they came, in order to transform them into the good of that same truth. So as Jesus speaks to us, he's transforming us into himself. See, each truth is so important. Each truth is so powerful that as we read it, God begins to hit, the word begins to transform us. Jesus begins to transform us. These are not ordinary words. And this is what Jesus is asking us to understand. Why do we promise God to read? Because the word is transforming us. It's he knows that as we read this, he, the Lord, is going to transform us into himself, to be in his image and likeness. That's why he created us, so that we could walk and talk with God in that perennial communion, as Adam did in the cool of the evening. Our God loves us so much, and he's tired of waiting for us. That's what he says. So he's come after us. So he says, if a new truth comes forth from us, it is everything. See, every time you read, why do you become more happy? Because he's given you a new truth. It's coming from God. And it becomes everything. The joy, the happiness, the peace. Again, when you read, there is no room for worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. There's no room for sin. At the most, time, centuries can pass, but this says nothing, because they are armed not only with power, but with invincible and divine patience. And they don't become tired in waiting, they are tireless, and they are inflexible. First, they must give what good they have, the life that they possess. And then, triumphant and victorious, they send back to heaven the fruits that they have conquered. See, God is doing this. Therefore, my daughter Louisa, be attentive in listening to my truths. And for us, be attentive in reading these truths given to Louisa. That's what Jesus wants from us. Be attentive in reading, knowing, and putting into practice these truths. First, you must think about where they come from, who hands them to you, the good that they want to make you, the steps of both sides to draw near each other. Do not want to put them in doubt. Because when you do not see in the world the effects, the good, and the life that my truth possesses. So again, he says that as you read, you're not going to see at once everything that's happening. Don't put in doubt. Don't limit God by doubting. He says it's happening. It's a veil in front of your eyes, as he said earlier today. And he's asking us to trust him. Time shall do, and time shall say everything. For now do your part, and for the rest, let your Jesus think about it. So what is our part? Our part is to read. Our part is to study. Our part is to put this into practice. Beyond this, and then he says again, you must know that first we form the support, the place, the soul, where our truths must descend, and that's Louisa. And then we decide to send them forth from inside our paternal bosom, because a supreme being in sending the truths forth from us that change into works for creatures, and in sending them forth, we do not let them remain in the air an idle. No, our divine wisdom never does useless things. If we put them forth, they must be bearers of the good that they contain. So here, Jesus is saying that we are going to be the bearers of God. Here is the reason for the necessity of the support where our goodness can send them in order to immediately begin their work of participation and of transformation of the good that they possess. Perhaps only to begin with one soul alone, that's Louisa, but then to diffuse so much as to form the armies of creatures of the good that our truth possesses. That's why we've been called to be apostles of the divine will. And when they have formed these noble armies, our truths carry them to us, triune God, onto the lap of our celestial fatherland. They are conquerors who populate heaven, and they act as messengers, and they run over the earth. They cast seeds, they work it, and they gather it, and triumphant for placing it in safety, they bring it into the celestial regions. They are untiring, nor do they ever stop if they have not obtained their intent. So God is going to do this. God is going to do this. All that he asks of us is give our fiat. All that he asks of us is really to promise him that we will read and we will study and we'll put this into practice. So we'll